All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and we are here in the Confessional Corner to go a little bit more into detail in the early stages of the Lutheran Reformation. I mean, even going back to before there was a Lutheran Reformation, as we look at Luther's early career from 1500 to 1525. But as we look at the early career of Luther, we need to first look at what's going on around the world in the first quarter of the 16th century. Nostradamus, the great seer of the Middle Ages, was born in 1503. His Les Prophéties was published in 1555, so we'll get into that later on. This is that great book where he prophesied about great events that would happen well into the future, including like the assassination of Lincoln and Kennedy. But again, you want to go into that? Read the National Enquirer. All right, Nicholas Copernicus wrote Commentariolus around 1512, his initial outline of his heliocentric theory that the earth revolves around the sun instead of the commonly accepted theory that the earth was stationary and everything else revolved around it. That's coming in this time frame. The Treaty of London is signed in late 1518 as a non-aggression act between Burgundy, France, England, the Holy Roman Empire, the Netherlands, the Papal States, and Spain. This makes sense because the Holy Roman Emperor Maximilian I was the grandfather of Charles, the King of Spain, the Lord of the Netherlands, and the Duke of Burgundy. The treaty was also signed by King Francis I of France, King Henry VIII of England, and Pope Leo X. It's how crazy it must have been for these five men to basically run the world and be on the same side at the same time. And also in this time frame, Ferdinand Magellan is making his circumnavigation around the world. He's killed in the Battle of Mactan in the Philippines in 1521, but Juan Sebastian Elcano took over the expedition after that battle and finished it, coming back to Spain in 1522. So while these great things are happening around the world, Luther is very busy in Germany. He entered the University of Erfurt in 1501, receiving a Master of Arts degree in philosophy in 1505. Shortly after receiving this degree, on July 2nd, 1505, Luther has his infamous thunderstorm moment. While on a journey, Luther is caught in a thunderstorm. As it grew more fierce, Luther was afraid that he might be killed in the storm, so he prayed to St. Anne to protect him. If he survived, he vowed, he would go into the monastery. He followed through with this vow 15 days later. His father Hans was not pleased because he was sending Martin to Erfurt to become a lawyer, not a priest. Luther rose quickly through the ranks in the monastery. Within a year of joining the monastery, he takes his final vows to make him a full-fledged Augustinian monk. A few months later, he is ordained a priest on April 3rd, 1507. Luther is first sent to the University of Wittenberg as a lecturer in moral philosophy in 1508. 3 years later, he is sent to Wittenberg as a full professor. On October 18th, 1512, Luther is awarded a doctorate of theology by the University of Wittenberg. The beginning of his professorship in Wittenberg shows some of his great work. His early lectures were on the Psalms, Romans, and Galatians. As we look through Lutheran theology, these three books are foundational. When we look at the text of the Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions and the scripture index in the back, the largest number of references go for Romans and Psalms. But Galatians is not very far behind, although there's a few other books that have more. But these are kind of foundational for the Lutheran Reformation, even years before Luther even starts thinking about a Reformation. Now, when we think of the Lutheran Reformation, we automatically think of October 31st, 1517. When Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg. While this is considered a watershed moment in history, they were simply written in response to growing concerns Luther has about papal indulgences. He's simply wanting a debate among his Augustinian monks' friends. Earlier in that year, Pope Leo sent out indulgence preachers to go throughout the Holy Roman Empire selling indulgences to pay for the rebuilding of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Luther saw through the Pope's illogical teachings on these indulgences. You can find what I wrote about each of the 95 theses in preparation for the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. The link to that page on the Wrestling with Theology website will be in the show notes. The 95 theses led to the Heidelberg Disputation among the Augustinian monks in April 1518. In this disputation, Luther debated for a theology of the cross instead of a theology of glory. The theology of the cross looks to Christ for everything. The theology of glory tries to determine God's attitude toward man based on man's circumstances. The better a man's circumstances, the more God loves him. This is very prominent in evangelical circles today. The theology of glory is the bread and butter of most TV preachers. Luther's argumentation at Heidelberg led him into an appearance before Cardinal Thomas Cajetan at the 1518 Diet of Augsburg. As a result of this interview, Cardinal Cajetan instructed Frederick the Wise to arrest Luther if he refused to recant his heretical teachings. Frederick refuses to follow Cajetan's instructions. Cajetan has very little he can do with the situation because Holy Roman Emperor Maximilian I died on January 12th, 1519. Cajetan cannot gain any more traction until Maximilian's grandson Charles is elected Holy Roman Emperor in June. In that same month, Andreas Karlstadt challenged Johann Eck to a debate. Eck was a theology professor at the University of Ingolstadt. He was considered the master debater for the Holy Roman Empire. He wrote a critical commentary on Luther's 95 Theses. As the dean of Wittenberg's theology faculty, Karlstadt challenged Eck to defend Luther and his teachings. The following month, Eck invited Luther to join the debate to defend the teachings himself. Luther's defense of his teachings led to Pope Leo X's bull, Exsurge Domine, the following year. This bull gave Luther 60 days to recant, or he would be excommunicated from the church. The bull was dated June 15th. The deadline would have been August 14th. Luther didn't give a very public reply until December 10th, when he burned the papal bull and a copy of canon law in Wittenberg. Leo officially excommunicated him on January 3rd, 1521, with the papal bull Desit Romana Pontificat. If this were the end of Luther's issues, the Lutheran Reformation would not have happened. He could have been burned at the stake as a heretic and just been another name in a long list of heretics the church expunged from history. But neither God nor Pope Leo X were finished with Luther. Luther was commanded to appear at the Diet of Worms in 1521. Luther arrived on April 16th. He was brought before the Diet the following day, where Johann Eck had placed 25 books attributed to Luther. He was asked to answer two questions. Did he write these books, and does he recant all the heresies written in them? Luther doesn't answer right away. He asks for time to give a proper answer. He gives his answer the following day. He separates the works into three categories. Books that were well received even by his enemies. Books that attacked the abuses the papacy had brought into the church. And books that attacked individuals. Luther would only consider a revocation of the third group as he apologized for the harsh tone he used, but not the content. Luther concluded his response with the famous words, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves. I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. Amen." The diet ended on May 25th with Charles V proclaiming the Edict of Worms. In this edict, Charles declared Luther not only to be a heretic of the church, but also an enemy of the state. As an enemy of the state, Luther was able to be killed on sight without worry about legal ramifications. Frederick the Wise had kidnapped Luther and sent him away to the Wartburg Castle. While at the Wartburg, Luther translated the New Testament into German. Also in 1521 in Wittenberg, Philip Melanchthon published the first edition of his Loci Communis. Luther proclaimed that this book was the greatest book ever written except the Bible. While Luther was in the Wartburg, Karlstadt was making issues in Wittenberg. He was bringing about the Reformation at warp speed. Luther returned from the Wartburg to rein Karlstadt in a bit. In the week of Imbolcabit 1522, the first week of Lent, Luther preached eight sermons urging the people of Wittenberg to proceed with caution while instituting reforms. However, many did not listen to Luther's preaching for caution. The Peasants' War began in 1524, Karlstadt being a part of it, Thomas Münzer also being a part of it, both of them being students of Luther. This was finally ended May 15th, 1525, as the Swabian League defeated Münzer and his peasant revolters in Thuringia. From this point on, there are very few revolutionary outbursts among Lutherans. It is simply we want to get to the truth of the matter. We are not trying to overthrow anything. We are wanting to get to the truth. 1525 ends with one of Luther's greatest early reforms, his Formula Missae. A reform of the Mass to include German hymns and preaching was first celebrated on Christmas Day. If you open up your Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, the second edition at least, on page 219, there is an excursus on the divine service, taking the form of the Mass from 1523, a precursor of the Formula Missae, lining it up against the Roman medieval Mass on the right-hand side, giving you a clear understanding that Luther is not trying to rewrite all of the church. He's simply trying to get to the heart of the matter. And the biggest thing is when we get to the order for Holy Communion in those where you have simply the way we have it in our divine services. That is the way it was back in 1523 with the original order of it. But also as we get to the Formula Missae in the Latin, it also has that same structure. So I encourage you to go back to that. As I said, the notes I have that were bulletin blurbs and blog posts leading up to the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation a few years ago are available on the Wrestling with Theology website. I encourage you to look into those as you have the time. They are rather short. The earlier ones are a little more lengthy, but by the time you get through the first 30, they start to kind of be very repetitive. Not that they are saying the same thing over and over again, but that they are very similar in their wording. So I encourage you to look at that. Also, I encourage you, as always, to stay tuned for the Digging Deepers. We are in the very throes of the end times, the last days, as we go through the Book of Revelation. I encourage you to be here for that. And for the pro wrestling fans, be here for Pro Wrestling America on Wednesdays. We are having a great time as we have come off of St. Valentine's Day Massacre and are getting ready for Remember Their Legacy in May. But there is a lot of stuff that is going to happen in those coming months in the storylines and how things are running around in the PWA. So I encourage you to also be there for that if you are a wrestling fan. This is it for this confessional corner as we look at early Luther. Next month, we are looking at, we talked about the Diet of Worms and the Diet of Augsburg early on. We're getting into next month, what is an imperial diet? What is the Diet of Worms? What is the Diet of Augsburg? And what's different between the one in 1518, the one in 1530, and the one in 1555? We'll talk about all of that next month. So I encourage you to be here for that as we continue to focus on the history around, remembering that the Reformation does not happen in a vacuum, but happens in the hearts and lives of people, just like you and me, who were simply wrestling with the theology around them. Amen.